Good morning. Any guests that are with us this morning, we do want to welcome you and encourage you to stop and see Anita at guest services this morning. We do have a gift for you, and any information that you would like to know about Fellowship Church, you can just ask her. She'll answer any questions that you have. And it's good to see everyone here this morning, and we're going to take a look at God's Word. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12. And you'll see coming up on the screen a picture of me, and that is me at my college graduation from Bible school. And the lady next to me is my grandmother. She was a very, very strong-willed, very outspoken woman, and a great, great prayer warrior. Her name was Helena, and she prayed for years, that one of her grandsons would become a pastor. And she would remind us every family dinner that she was praying for that. And every family dinner, I would say, well, it's not going to be me. And well, she had seven grandsons, so I figured the odds were in my favor. And when God finally got a hold of my life, I remember I went to her and I told her that I had enrolled in Bible college and I was going to be a pastor, and she was so excited. So I was glad that she was able to be at my graduation, and praise God, she is now alive forever in eternity. The Lord called her home in 2012, but I'm very thankful that before that, she had the opportunity to see me serve in pastoral ministry. And I miss her a lot, and I'm just glad that I'm able to serve and be an answer to her prayers. But all of us, I think, or many of us with grandparents, we all have those funny stories and those memories and those anecdotes about their life. And I can remember for my grandmother, one year, I don't know if it was for Christmas or for her birthday, but somebody in our family, I think one of my uncles, had given her a gift. They gave her an automatic starter for her vehicle. So, you know, you start your vehicle in the house and allow it to warm up, allow the ice to defrost off the windshield before you have to go out. And she, I don't know, she just didn't really have the concept of how this was supposed to work. So I remember my wife Ashley and I and our oldest son Lucas, we lived with her for about 2.5 years. So I was able to see firsthand exactly how she used this gift that she was given. And I remember watching her one day go out to her car, and she was about 10 feet from her vehicle, and she pushed the button, and you see the brake lights come on to indicate that the signal was received and the car was started. So I told her, Grandma, that's not how the automatic starter is supposed to work. You're supposed to start your car when you're in the house and then go and get ready, do whatever you have to do. And in the meantime, your car is going to warm up. And then you can go out and get in your car, and it's nice and warm, and you can go out and have lunch with the ladies or get your hair done or whatever you're doing. And sometimes she would use it the right way, but other times she would just say, Timothy, can you start my car for me? And I'd say, sure, Grandma, I can do that. And maybe you've had something like this happen to you, where you've given somebody a gift that you know is perfect for them. It's going to make their life so much better and so much more complete. And you get excited, so you go to the store and you see it's there and you buy it, or you order it online and it comes in the mail and you know it's that in the box. It's arrived, so you open up the box and you take it out, and that's the gift. And you get it and you wrap it up and you give it to them at Christmas or for their birthday. And they open up the gift and they give you a look like, what is this? And you explain to them what it is. And you know how you always are doing that thing? Well, this gift is going to help you to do that much better. And you explain just how it's going to make their life so much more complete and so much more perfect. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, thanks. Or maybe something that they really wanted. So you get that for them because they know it's going to make their life so much better. And then what happens? A week later, a month later, it's still in the box, right? And then you see them doing something that the gift you gave them was designed to help them do. You say, what are you doing that for? I remember I gave you the gift to do that thing. Why are you stopping to ask for directions? I gave you a GPS. Why are you carrying in the groceries 2 bags at a time? I got you that grocery bag carabiner. You can carry them all in at once. Or maybe the recipient is now improperly using that gadget or that tool that was listed as one of the top 10 most practical gifts on Amazon as a paperweight. You receive the gift, use it. In the church, all believers have been given a spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit that we are called to use for the building up of the church. And unfortunately, some believers struggle with using their gifts properly. Maybe they don't understand the value of the gift that they've been given, or they don't know what their gift is. So today we'll be in Romans 12 to gain a biblical understanding of how we should properly view and use the gifts that God has given us within the context of the church. So before we look at God's word, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning to look into your word, to know more about you, about your plan for us. We know that your word has given us everything that we need for life and for godliness, and we pray that you would equip us this morning through your word for those things, that we can live for your glory as a church, that we would be able to honor and glorify you and build up one another and build up this church, which is part of your body in Christ, who is the head, has died for his church so that he could present us as holy and spotless and blameless, that we would be matured in Christ, made to look like him, and that we would be able to do that through the use of our gifts, with each one of us serving according to those gifts. And we praise and glorify you for that. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Now, before we look at this passage, it is important for us to understand what spiritual gifts are and what their purpose is. A little over a year ago, Pastor Mark preached a series on the Holy Spirit entitled From the Inside Out. And in one of those teachings from the series, he led us through 1 Corinthians 12 to look at the importance of spiritual gifts. And I encourage you to visit our website to access that sermon series. But in the sermon on that day, entitled Many Gifts, Same Spirit, Pastor Mark shared this definition of spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is a naturally, supernaturally empowered ability graciously given by the Holy Spirit to believers as a way of expressing their faith in Christ for the strengthening and edifying of the body of Christ. So that is the definition that we'll work with today. And in that definition, we see what gifts are. We see that they have their source and their power from the Holy Spirit, and it's meant for us to use them for service as a way of expressing our faith in Christ and with the purpose of building up the church, the body of Christ. And we see gifts mentioned in a few other places in Scripture, mainly but not limited to the letters of Paul, Ephesians 4:12 and 1 Corinthians 14:12 show us again that the primary purpose of spiritual gifts is for building up the body of Christ for his glory. And that is something that we should pursue. So that is what we want to keep in mind today as we look at Romans 12, that spiritual gifts are meant for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. And when we come to Romans 12, verse 1, Paul is appealing to his readers who, in light of God's mercy, having received mercy and been saved from his wrath, he's appealing to them and telling them to present their bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So our spiritual acts of worship are not something that is only within ourselves. It is not something that is unseen and only evident to God. Rather, our spiritual worship can be demonstrated in a way that is visible to other people. True worship can be expressed in acts of service performed by our bodies. And that is how we show that we have received that mercy. That is how we show that we have been saved. Service to the Lord through the use of our spiritual gifts is a way to demonstrate our salvation. In Romans 12:2, Paul instructs his readers to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In other words, our minds must be renewed in Christ by his word and by the Spirit of God, and then we will be able to discern and know what the desire and the will of God is and be transformed by it so that we will be in line with his will. And as we are being continually, increasingly transformed by God, sanctified, to know what is acceptable to God, then our acts of service will be holy and acceptable to him. So the use of our spiritual gifts, then, is to be an act of worship. We are offering back to God what he has given to us as living sacrifices. We are allowing the gifts that he assigned us to be used for his holy purposes. And that requires a renewed mindset, one that doesn't think too highly of ourselves. Paul writes in verse 3, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." Paul is cautioning the church against pride. He addresses everyone because every believer has a spiritual gift. He is calling believers to use their gifts with humility. It can be harmful to your spiritual growth and to the growth of the church if you are using your gift in a way that is prideful. And there are some ways that I think we might be tempted to give into pride when it comes to the use of our gifts. And this will result in the misuse of our gifts or the abuse of our gifts or the lack of use of our gifts. And these are things that I have observed in my own personal ministry. One example or one way that we might think of ourselves too highly is when we give into what I call positional pride. This is when we are tempted to think the church needs me, or this ministry can't be done, or this person can't be discipled without me doing that. It can't happen without me involved. They can't do it without me. And this can lead to over-serving or burnout in ministry. And each one of us, as we will see, we have a gift that is beneficial for the growth of the church, and we are called to use those gifts. I would even say that each one of us has a gift that is essential to God's plan for his church. But it is a slippery slope when you start to think that God needs you in order to build his church. Because if God has a plan, if God has a will, he is going to accomplish his purposes with or without any one of us. Now, before I was a pastor here at Fellowship Church, I served in a role called the Director of Church Administration. And in this role, I was involved in a lot that was happening in the church, and I was using my gifts in many different ways here. And I was so involved in what was happening, it became a pride issue. And I began to think very early on that the church couldn't do the things the church was doing without me being here to make sure those things were getting done. And in my first year in that role, God taught me a lesson. Because I ended up with some health issues that caused me to miss the entire Easter season. I missed the kids' Easter celebration, I missed Good Friday, and I missed the Resurrection Sunday service. And what I learned was that God didn't need me to make sure that tables got set up. The reality is that God does not need any one of us to accomplish his purposes. You know, he's not pacing back and forth on the cloud. I hope they show up to serve. I don't know how anyone's going to get saved if they're not here today. I don't want to have to call Paul back. God doesn't need us. He will make it happen with or without us. Now, the other danger that we face with positional pride is when we take the fact that God doesn't need us to the other extreme and begin to think that we don't need to be part of the church to use our gifts to serve. And we think that this is maybe more spiritual or we're more evolved in our thinking with that kind of thought. And the process is that, the thought process is that I have this gift and I love the Lord and I'm saved and I can do all of these things that God has called me to do and designed for me to do without being part of a local church. I don't need to be part of a church to serve God and show that I love him and that I'm saved. We can be saved and we can love the Lord, but if we are not serving him in a local church, then we're not really demonstrating that we love the Lord and that we are saved. Now, we have ministry opportunities here in this church that take place outside of the church building. So I'm not saying, you know, if you're a Christian, you need to be serving within one of these rooms that we have here. We've been active with the Keystone Mission for many years, and we've prepared meals in the kitchens of our homes, and we've taken those meals and distributed them to the homeless community in the city. We've gone to minister at Pyramid Healthcare, which is a rehabilitation center right down the road. We've ministered on the campuses of local universities. So yes, we can serve the Lord outside of these rooms, but the gifts that God has given to believers, they cannot be separated from the mission of the church. All who are in Christ, all who are saved, are part of the body of Christ, and each member has a function within the body. Ephesians 4 tells us that these gifts are given to the church to use for evangelism, for teaching, for edification, so that the church would be built up. So if we claim to be born again, saved, regenerated, then that means that we are part of Christ's church. And we say that we believe that all Christ teaches. We say that we believe all that he commands about reaching the lost, about caring for those in need, about making disciples. Then we must be committed to using the tools, to using the gifts that he has given us to do those things within the context of our relationship with Christ and his church. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Each one of us has gifts given by God, and each one of us is instructed to use those gifts to build up the church. So if we fail at this, if we neglect to use our gifts for the benefit of the body of Christ, then our commitment to Christ himself can be called into question. Now, the other type of pride that we might be tempted to give into is what I call preferential pride. This is when we want to serve out of preference, but not necessarily out of our giftedness, or we want to serve using our gifts, but we want to do it our way. I want to serve, but I'm only going to do it my way. And this is when we have such a narrow focus that we don't allow others to use their gifts, or we hinder other believers from using their gifts and their skills for ministry because we think that it should happen a certain way. Or maybe we have the opportunity to serve in the body of Christ with our gifts, but it's not in the way that we think it should be done, so we don't serve. You know, I'd like to be a greeter, but with COVID, greeters are not shaking hands, and I think greeters should be shaking hands, so I'm not going to be a greeter. That's not humility. And then, you know, a year later, whatever happened to that person? Well, we asked them to be a greeter, and they left the church. Eventually, it leads to isolation and to resentment. Preferential pride also happens on the other end when we refuse to serve or be part of what God is doing because we perceive it to be an inconvenience to us. This is when we don't serve because it conflicts with our routines or because we're idle or passive about serving, and we've become so settled in our idleness that we don't really want to bother to try to serve because it's going to mess up our routine and take us out of our comfort zone. That doesn't work when we're called to be living sacrifices and offer our gifts to God as a spiritual act of worship. Now, Miss Karen Swigert, she's a great example of someone who has a proper view of gifts in contrast to preferential pride. We have many teens and many young adults here in the church who have sat under her teaching. Have you ever been in Miss Karen's class? Just raise your hand if you've been in Miss Karen's class here at Fellowship Church. So many of you who are adults now have been in her class. That's how long she's been serving. For years, she has served almost every single week in kids' church. She's only missed when she was sick or when, you know, we had the doors closed for a pandemic. And she's so committed to serving in this ministry that we've had to do what we can to equip her to make sure that she's not missing out on what's happening in the worship service. So we've helped her get set up so she can access the podcast, and we've created other opportunities for her to be here in the worship service with us. Now, she's not saying, I won't serve because it would be an inconvenience to me, because she knows that she has the gift to teach and she has a passion for those students, so she wants to use those gifts. And she's not serving every week because of pride. She doesn't do it because we can't find anybody else to serve. She wants to be there. It's an act of worship for her. And she's helping build the church through that ministry. And she does it with joy. And the joy of the Lord is her strength. We want all of you to be serving according to your gifts and for it to be joyful. And if you're serving according to your giftedness and with an attitude of humility and servanthood, with a heart toward God, you will experience that joy. And if you have a gift that you are not using because you perceive it to be some kind of an inconvenience to you to use it, then you're doing a disservice to Christ and his church. Now, I'm not saying everybody needs a sign for kids' church now, because we need to be serving where God has gifted us. So yes, if you have a gift of teaching and a heart for children, then you maybe should do that. But the point is that we need to have a mindset that is different from the world, where we don't think too highly of ourselves, where we're not thinking about ourselves first. We need to be sober-minded, Paul says, not intoxicated with our own sense of self-esteem and ability and success and way of doing things, but be mindful that God is the one that assigns our gifts to us and according to the measure of faith that we've been given, meaning we must measure ourselves by a standard. And for believers, that standard is Christ crucified. Being a follower of Christ means that we are to have the mindset of Christ, who did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but what? He humbled himself and took on the form of a servant. That is the kind of mindset that we are supposed to have when we use our gifts. So we need to understand that our gifts are to be used within the context of the church with that mindset, with sober judgment, in order to use them properly. Because again, the purpose of gifts that God has given to us is for building up the body of Christ. And Paul talks about the body in verses 4-6. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Paul often uses the analogy of the human body in Scripture to illustrate truths about the body of Christ, his church. So looking at this analogy, there are a few things that we can learn to help keep our minds in check so that we can have a proper view of gifts within the context of the church, so that we can maintain that humble and that worshipful attitude when it comes to using our spiritual gifts. One thing that Paul makes clear is that the body of Christ has a diversity of gifts. Paul says in verse 4 that just as the human body has many parts with different functions, the church is made up of many members with a variety of gifts. Now, there are a few different lists of spiritual gifts in Scripture that show us that the body of Christ is diverse by design. No two members of the church are alike, just like no two parts of the human body are alike. You may not have the same gift as someone else, but that does not mean that you are not important to the body. Paul argues in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, and if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make them any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? The point is this: in the same way that the foot and the ear, they might pretend that they're not part of the body, that doesn't mean they're not part of the body. So no born-again believer can pretend or think that they are any less useful for God's purpose for his church. Just because you may not have one of the more honorable gifts, or you're not in a higher rank than somebody else, that doesn't mean that God can't do great things through you for his kingdom. Every believer has a spiritual gift given by the Spirit of God. That means when we exercise the gifts that are given to us, when we offer ourselves and our gifts back to him in service with an attitude of humility and worship, God himself, through the Holy Spirit, is working through us when we use our gifts. That's a powerful thing. Don't think too highly of yourself, but also don't think too lowly of yourself, because the Spirit of God resides in every believer. And it's he who empowers you to use those gifts. Now, with that in mind, and considering the diversity of gifts within the church, there are two truths that we need to remember. First, though the church is diverse in gifts, we are called to be unified in Christ. Though there are many members who do not all have the same function, verse 5 says that we are one body in Christ. We may not all have the same gifts and the same function, but we're meant to be working together for the same Lord as part of his body. So that diversity that exists among us is meant for unity. We are the body of Christ, and as believers, we share a common life, a common faith, a common power in Christ, and a common purpose. Paul is writing this letter, the book of Romans, to Christians in Rome. And Rome was a very diverse city. There was a lot of tension between races and classes because of that diversity. And it was such an issue that the Roman government actually attempted to institute emperor worship as a way to bring people together, to unify them. But it's only in Christ that the walls of hostility can be broken down between those races and those classes, and that people can be united. Because that's what the gospel does. It unites us. In the body of Christ, Paul writes, there is neither Jew nor Greek, but all are one in Christ. Yes, we have different gifts and a variety of talents and skills and abilities, but it's God's design for his church that our diversity is used for unity, that we would serve him together for the purpose of building up his church. Second, we see that we are diverse in gifts, but God has designed the church in a way that its members are mutually dependent on one another. We are interdependent on each other, using our gifts within the church. Verse 5 continues, So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. We are tied to one another. None of us should think that we can be isolated or that we can grow spiritually or that we can make any kind of an impact for Christ by ourselves. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, God has composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. We are meant to be mutually dependent on one another in Christ. Think of the example of the human body. If the foot were to pretend that because it's not the hand, therefore it's not part of the body, and the foot just decided to stop functioning, the body would be impaired. Don't impair the body by not using your gifts because you don't have this gift or because you're not in this position. We should serve according to our gifts for the sake of others. God may not need us to build his church, but as members of the body, each one of us is necessary in the role that we serve in according to our gifts, and each one of us is an important part of building up the church as God designed it. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. We are to be good stewards of our gifts. Stewardship implies accountability. We are accountable to God and to his church to identify, to grow in, and to use our spiritual gifts to serve one another. We see this in things like congregational care, where Karen Charity and her team use their gifts to minister to the church, to anyone that has a need, to pray for them, to make sure that cards are being sent out, that meals are being organized for people that need them. We see this with Nick Forrester as he uses his gifts to serve our college students. We see this on Sunday mornings here in worship, where we have about 50 people serving on any given Sunday. Even right now, I might be the only person up here on the stage, but there's a team of people that are making sure that you can hear me, that you can see me, that the people at home are able to interact with our church online. We see this in our ministries as our leaders are making disciples, something that we are all called to do, and it doesn't happen in isolation. You can't make disciples in isolation. If you are a believer, if you are born again, you are a member of Christ's body. You are part of the church, and your presence in the church can make a difference. So how do we apply this? One application point. Let us use them, Paul says. That's it. The end. Devote yourselves to using the gifts that God has given you. Use them according to your giftedness. Let us use them. Paul says in verses 6 to 8, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So if you have the gift of teaching, teach. If you have the gift of giving, give generously. If you have the gift of serving, serve. If you are a believer, you have a gift that is given to you by God, and he calls you to use it. And if you're using your gifts as an act of worship to the glory of God, then you should do that to the fullest. That is the right attitude and the right approach to using our gifts. Now, what if you don't know your gifts? There are some practical ways that you can discover your gifts. First, serve. Each one of us has different skills, different abilities, different passions, different experience in life. There's opportunities for you to connect those abilities and those skills and those passions and those experiences in different areas of service where they can be put to use. And through serving, you can discover what your gifts are. Your skills, your abilities, your passions, your experience will show through when you are faithfully and actively serving, and your gifts will be uncovered. And I do want to encourage you to do that within the context of the ministries that we have happening here. One of the best ways to definitely know what your spiritual gifts are is through repeated affirmation of other believers in the body of Christ. And serving is how your gifts can be affirmed and confirmed. And through serving in our ministries, we will help you to develop those gifts for more effective service. And if you're not sure what ministry opportunities are available, I would encourage you to register for our 411 classes. Through these classes, you have the chance to discover how God is working through our church and the various ways that you can get involved. What we often hear from people that go through these classes, they say, I didn't realize the church had so much going on. There's more things that are happening than we can really share with you during announcements. And by being involved, you'll be able to see all the different ways that God is working here. So again, I do encourage you, if you have not gone through 411, to go through those classes. Today is April 11th, so it's not a coincidence that we're talking about this today. The next round of classes begins on May 16th. With our Connect class. So again, I'd encourage you to register. You can go to the Sunday sign-up table or stop at guest services for more information about that. It really is one of the best opportunities that we have for you to be a part of this church and learn how God is working through this church and to discover your gifts for service. Because through the 411 classes, we provide you with Christian service inventories and a spiritual gift test to learn more about your passions and your gifts, so that we can help you get connected to the right area of service so that you can serve the Lord joyfully. Which is another way that you can discover your gifts, by taking the spiritual gifts test. You don't have to wait to go through 411 to take a spiritual gift test. We do have those available for anyone to discover their gifts. And on the screen, you see the link where you can go and take that test on our website. It's a great Sunday afternoon, rainy day activity. It's not a perfect test. It's not inspired. And there's a lot of different gift tests out there. But this is one that we use and we recommend. We did have a few people that took this test to kind of vet it for us, and people that we trust with this kind of thing. And we concluded that this is the test that we would like to use here at Fellowship Church. So we do encourage you to take that test. It is a good indicator of how you might be gifted. And we want to give you those opportunities to discover your gifts, to find God's purpose for you here at Fellowship Church. And I want to help you as the pastor of Ministry Mobilization to discover your gifts and to find ways that you can use them here for service. So you can visit the link and take the online test. And then when you do that, You'll have to register, but it will give our mobilization team the ability to see your results and then to follow up with you and make recommendations for the ways that you can serve in areas that might be a good fit for you. And if going online is not your thing or you have trouble with the link, we do have hard copies that will be available at the exits after service today. So just take one of those home. But then connect with me once you've completed them, and we can help get you involved with some different ministry opportunities. If you're part of this church, we want you to be connected to what God is doing here and to use your gifts. Pastor Marcus said, use your gifts. God will take care of the rest. We want you to know your gifts and to give you the opportunities to use them for God's glory. Each one of you, because of your presence here in this body, can make a difference for the Lord. You all have various gifts to be used for one purpose, in unity with one another, to strengthen and edify the body of Christ for his glory. As a church, it's our vision to be a worshiping and growing and serving church. And when each one of us is using our gifts for God's purpose, according to his design, we will fulfill that vision. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the way that you've designed this church, for creating each one of us with the different skills and abilities that we have, with our life experiences, to have gifts that we can use to serve you and to build up your church. You have called us to go into the world to make disciples. And I pray that you would equip us, that you would empower us by your Spirit, that we would know our gifts, that we would know how we are designed so that we can do that, so that we can make disciples for your glory and that your church will be built up. Each one of us is created in your image, and each one of us is created as believers with gifts to be used for service. I pray that you would help us as a church, as leaders, to help each person here to discover their gifts, to develop them, and to use them, that they would be faithful to what you have called us to do. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.